What's up, Titans? I'm Jaden Lovelady, the Lifestyle Editor.
And I'm Kumbia Kansari, your Assistant Lifestyle Editor.
And today we're on Episode 3 of DT Bod, covering Volume 116, Issue 5 of the Daily Titan.
In today's newspaper, we got a couple stories, including the convocation from Armor Roshan at CSUF, an opinion on women's sports, a new lifestyle story on Retropolis, new vintage store in downtown, a sports story on volleyball, a recap from this weekend, and our top story this week is women's soccer as they enter conference play. Jaden, I heard a rumor.
Wait, I look, you heard a rumor too. I heard that both of our guests are from Sports Desk today.
I heard it's Graceman, our assistant sports editor, and Sergio Gonzalez, our sports editor.
I think that rumor is true.
Yeah, I think. I can confirm that.
Wait.
This is crazy.
Hey guys, welcome to the pod.
Hello.
How y'all doing today?
Doing good. How are you guys?
Pretty good.
So tell me a little bit of how women's soccer is looking right now as you're going to conference play.
The record's like 2-6-1 right now. So essentially what that means is that their non-conference play was not too hot.
Yeah, they started off strong in winning their first two games of the season. But over their last seven before conference started, they lost six and tied once, which is
not very good.
Yeah.
But you know what? The good thing about not winning conference play is that it doesn't affect Big West play at all. So essentially,
it's a clean slate.
Yeah. So when they start a conference, which was today, I think, against CSUN, basically their record is 0-0-0, which is essentially what Coach Brown was telling us a couple days ago, is that they basically can just leave everything in the past and move forward with a completely different mindset.
And this is actually kind of a familiar trail before, where last year they had the same issue. They had only won two games in non-conference play and ended up winning the conference regular season title.
Yeah, so they are Big West champions. We also have the 2023 Goalkeeper of the Year.
Shout out Ranson.
Ranson's the best. And I think we can be optimistic looking towards Big West conference play, just because I think the team faced a couple really, really high-ranking teams in non-conference. I think, who did they play?
They played, I believe, three ACC teams. That's a very strong conference.
What is ACC?
Atlantic Coast Conference.
Okay.
And that's a pretty good competition.
Yeah.
And for them especially, to build on that, like, although the results weren't exactly there, that's something they can build on for the future and obviously against Big West opponents.
Yeah. I think for athletes, it's kind of like added motivation when you have a losing streak. So I think going in a conference is definitely going to fuel them up and hopefully get us some wins in the first couple games and maybe get that title again this year.
Who's their first conference opponent?
Their first one is actually Cal State Northridge.
Ooh, okay.
Another Cal State.
A little local.
And that game occurred
tonight. I think they tied.
Right? Really?
They tied.
Wow.
It sounds like there's a lot of room.
Clean slate.
It is. It's a clean slate.
Sounds like there's a lot of room for, like, not improvement, but just, like, hope. I don't think they're lost.
I don't think they're at their ceiling yet.
You know what? I will say that there is a lot of room for improvement, because there's kind of a trend along with, like, the winless streak, is that they seem to be getting scored on very early in the game. I think it was, like, four at least out of the last seven games they were getting scored on in, like, the first 10 minutes, which, I mean, I don't play soccer, but it's kind of hard to, like, play catch-up after the first 10 minutes. Yeah. So
it definitely messes with the momentum.
It definitely messes with just the confidence and the morale.
Yeah, it sets a tone.
Like, yeah, 100%.
That happening so early is such a, like, it's such a blockade you have to get over.
Yeah.
Especially if you're, like, in the middle of the game, because it's such a hard thing already.
Mm.
And then the knowledge that you, like, have to get past this, like, blockade you put up is just, like, I get it.
It's hard.
Yeah, I talked to Coach Brown last Friday, and he said the team is very much aware of that trend of getting scored on early. So I think it's definitely something that we can look out for, and they're probably practicing a lot for that specific situation, which I'm sure is probably really hard mentally. But I'm hoping after today's tie, we get some wins and get that title this year.
Especially. And one thing I want to emphasize as well is that I was talking to Coach Brown the other day, and he was talking about the maturity of the group and how they had five players named to the all-conference team last year, which is, five players is a lot among, like, the first 15, I believe. So there's a lot of experience. There's a lot of chemistry and familiarity within the girls in the group. And Coach Brown is very excited. He believes that they're, like, he's pretty confident that they're going to turn the page. So with that, I don't see why we're not
talking about it. Yeah, I mean, Coach Brown's been the head coach for, what, 15 years now? So I mean, I think it's fair to have trust in him and confidence that he's going to lead the team pretty well this year, especially when they have so many strong returners.
Mm-hmm. A lot of seniors on that team.
All right, guys. So over in Lifestyle, we have words that we abuse frequently, and we call them our buzzwords, like community, local, artistry.
Diverse.
They're all, yes, they're all in the paper every Sunday because that's just what it is. Mm. What are Sports Desk's buzzwords?
Oh.
What do you abuse over there?
What's your favorite word to throw in the articles?
I think of terminology a lot.
You got a favorite? Or is it just
like the word?
Wait, I should know this because every time I get my story back from Sergio, he puts in like the same, like he rotates the same four verbs. But I can't remember. Like, I use register, I use rack, like rack up points or like rack up kills, or
I use tally.
Recorded.
I saw skid twice this week.
Skid was a frequent one over the past couple of weeks.
I've never used outlast, but Emily says outlast.
I've used outlasted quite often in headlines a lot, and right now I'm refraining from using it just because it was.
You got an addiction to it? You're trying to withdraw it?
I did last semester, and I haven't used it yet this semester, which I'm low-key proud of.
Keep it in your back pocket. When you get that big headline, throw it out there.
Easily, yeah.
Right. You know, every time I do final reads for sports, I always see swept or sweeping.
Yes, swept. Yeah. Swept is for volleyball, specifically.
Serge, if you could put any word in the headline, what you throwing in there?
Any word?
Any word.
In a headline?
In a headline. Yeah, sure. Any sport, any. Too.
Fraudulent.
Yeah, sure.
What's the context? What's your dream headline with fraudulent in it?
I mean,
can you use fraudulent as
a make a headline right now?
In what context can we use fraudulent?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I've actually talked with our editor-in-chief, Emily, about this. One day, I will be using the word fraudulent, and I'm not sure how. It could be in reference.
Oh, you're just plotting on that?
You're just plotting on
it
the
could
word?
Be in reference to, like, I don't know, like a big story, or it could just be like, oh, this team, like.
Are you
planning
like for sports or just in general? Is that just a goal of yours?
This is for sports. Because
okay.
I feel like
there's lots of questions in sports. I could see it happening.
I could see it happening. I believe in you.
I want to see it happen at some point.
Okay, guys. I actually heard another rumor recently, and it's actually that it's time for you guys to go. Because we have other stuff to do.
Are you guys kicking us off?
No,
that's just a rumor that I heard, but I do think that it's true. I feel
you know, I'm agreeing with this rumor.
We do have to leave then.
Serge,
yeah.
I'm feeling a little bit unwelcome here.
I know, me too.
It's okay, feel unwelcome.
Actually, you can't tell us what to do. We're actually leaving.
We're just gonna leave.
Yeah, we're actually out.
We feel unwanted now.
I think it's just time for us to.
Okay,
thanks for the company though.
See you next production.
Bye. Hey Titans, I'm back. It's Grace, an assistant sports editor at the Daily Titan, and we're looking for some new staff members. We need a multimedia editor to help with video production, news assistants to cover current events and breaking news, a layout assistant to get the newspaper ready for Monday mornings, get the stories and photos looking nice on the pages, and a social media assistant to help manage our accounts to keep our readers up to date on all things Cal State Fullerton. You can find more information about the positions on our website at dailytitan.com under the Daily Titan Jobs tab. We hope to hear from you.
Heading on over to news, we are talking about the convocation speech from President Ronald Roshan that occurred Thursday at Main Concert Hall, where he covered a myriad of topics, including student transparency as well as the Fullerton Forward Plan.
You know what else he mentioned by name, might I add?
What did he mention by name?
Us, the Daily Titan.
Oh, really?
Yes. He mentioned specifically an article written by a copy assistant, Emeka, about transparency between CSUF leaders and the student body, which, hey, if you're interested, go on over to dailytitan.com.
I'm glad he mentioned it by name as well, because it's important that like faculty are like transparent with us, because we need to know what's going on at all levels.
I do agree. What else did he talk about at the convocation?
So there was a lot of charisma. I heard he had some people laughing. He even got a standing ovation, actually. There were also other speakers at the convocation, including Matthew Jarvis, a CSUF political science professor and the chair of the Academic Senate.
When he was there, he kind of expressed his nerves and apprehension about the massive change because, you know, like change is scary.
Oh,
like he
sure.
really resonated with like the student body about like, hey, it is scary to get a new president. But ultimately, he ended the speech with like kind of saying that he was so excited and hopeful with how aligned like Roshan's character and like experiences with where they're going with Cal State Fullerton, which I think is really important that he like fits that role so perfectly.
Oh, for sure. The article also included an interview with the CFA chapter president at Fullerton and criminal justice professor, Gregory Chris Brown, who spoke on the importance of relations between staff for collective bargaining agreements that are coming up at the end of the year. And although Ronald Roshan himself is not a part of that collective bargaining process, he said he wants to do what he can to support the best possible outcome for all parties involved. It's important to note how rocky the relationship between staff and the CSU administration can be right now. So as we head towards these bargaining agreements, it's important to see how it plays out.
Swinging back over to lifestyle, we're going to be covering the opening of Retropolis, which is a new little thrifting store down in downtown Fullerton.
Yes, so it is actually opening under the owners that used to own Superthrift down in Yorba Linda.
And they have fashion there from the 60s to the 90s, which I think is really cool. Just as a person who, like, I look for unique pieces like that a lot of the places that I go. And it's cool to have them all, like, in one place. Because I feel like recently I've been seeing a lot of stores try to focus on one, like, decade or one style, yeah, which is cool. But it's nice that there's, like, a really big, airy store on the strip where there's so many, like, places that are so concentrated, yeah, that has, like, decades worth of fashion. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Also, shout out to Michelle for writing the story, because she brought up a point I didn't realize, which is that there aren't really any dedicated clothing stores in downtown. Thank you, Michelle. But I mean, besides the Buffalo Exchange, there really isn't any clothing in downtown. I mean, we took a walk through earlier today, actually, and there wasn't.
There's clothing, but I would argue that there's not, like, unique clothing. Yeah. You know what I'm, yeah, saying? Like, yeah. That's one of the points that people made in the interview, is just that, like, they want to create a space where there's, like, genuine vintage clothing and, like, genuine places to express yourself through your fashion and stuff, instead, oh, definitely, of just, like, places who want to make money and, like, turn sales and, like, revamp, yeah, all these clothing pieces.
Well, it feels very curated, like, the way they're, like, going about operating.
It's curated in an authentic kind of way.
Heading on to opinion, we are talking about women's sports and how they deserve way more attention, because they do. Women's sports have always been good and they've always deserved viewership, but they just haven't gotten it for a lot of, like, a lot of different reasons. But the main being that people just don't want to give it a chance. Yeah. And I think it's unfair to the women that work so hard to, like, be in these positions of, like, being top athletes.
Exactly. Like, and I think the cool part about this story, honestly, is that I think we got two different takeaways. Oh, definitely. So it was a very well-written, like, argument, honestly, to have two different perspectives from the same argument, yeah, in, like, a positive way. Like, my biggest takeaway from it is just, like, there's a lot of quote-unquote performative activism going on in women's sports, where all of these producers and, like, these big networks, they want more people watching and they want better viewership, but they're not willing to, like, pour the attention into it themselves. Like, they're not giving them the funding they deserve. They don't give them, like, the network they deserve. Like, it's like this double standard that they want. Like, they want more viewership, but they, like,
they don't want to put the work,
they don't want to put the work in. They want the athletes to put the work in, but they're already putting the work in on the court, and they crazy. Can't put any more work in. Yeah, that's not their problem.
No, I think an extension of this is also, like, the NIL rules, because, like, that just became active for players to, like, profit off their own name, image, and likeness and all that stuff. I think another big issue is that there's also not that many household names when it comes to women's sports. I think nowadays we're getting a couple more with, like, Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark. They're really coming up and making a name for themselves. But I think a big part of that is also, like, media coverage and NIL deals, because, like, we see a lot of the male college athletes are getting crazy NIL deals, like, stupid money. So I think that giving them that platform and giving them more media coverage as well would help build up names, so that way, like, girls can find, like, more icons in sports that they like and, like, sort of be inspired to pursue that, because also that would inspire more people to watch games and be a part of games.
Absolutely. And I think that's honestly one of the most important things you can do, like, just watch the sports. Yes. Like, that viewership will show people that it is worth pouring that attention into. Heading back over to Sports Desk, we're going to be talking about women's volleyball over the last weekend when they played against Cal Baptist University down in Riverside and then immediately played against Grand Canyon University.
Yeah, so in that game against Cal Baptist, they actually swept them. But what goes around comes around, because we got swept in the game against GCU.
Unfortunately, yes. But they did play a good game still, because they ended up with 4 more kills and digs than the Antelopes. So shout out Titans.
Coach Vargas actually said that a lot of the errors they faced in the game were similar to St. Mary's, where it was just, you know, repeated errors, things like that, yeah, miscommunications on court.
There's always time to fix those, though. That's honestly just, like, tightening the screws. So, yeah.
And I mean, we're looking good as we head into conference play. The Titans have doubled their record from last season already. So as we head into conference play against UCI,
I'm very hopeful for this season, honestly. All right, guys, it's looking like that time again, closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here, honestly. So, hey, but if you like what you hear, there's a lot more of it in the Daily Titan. Pick it up. There's stands all over campus, and we put work into here. So if you like it, tune in every Wednesday for more DT Pod. And if you like us, we love you.
And lastly, and most importantly, a big thank you to our crew at DT Pod for putting it on. Our executive producer, Emily Wilson and Isaiah Malari. Our producers, Randall Santos and Michelle King. Our production manager, Luis Vizcaino. And lastly, a big thank you to our guest for the week, sports editor Sergio Gonzalez and assistant sports editor Graceman, for being on this episode. Thank you to all of you for listening and staying in touch with us on DailyTitan.com, and follow us on all our socials for more. Thank you.